Well, the lectionary provides us choices, of course, on what we can talk about every Sunday, and it's very tempting to talk about Ahab. There's just something essentially amusing about a king being that petulant and childish, but we're not going to talk about Ahab. If nothing else, he's an unpleasant person, and we will talk about other things instead. And we're going to spend our time this morning talking about the story that Jesus tells that's related in our gospel lesson, in the middle of what was read for us out of Luke. It's an interesting story overall. A Pharisee invited Jesus to join him for a banquet or a dinner of some sort. An immoral woman, depending on the translation you read, comes in and anoints Jesus with her tears and with perfume, which of course causes a certain amount of consternation. Jesus, hearing or reading the body language of the people, explains what's going on through the, once again, as he did so frequently, through the technique of a story. And the story is that two people owed money to a moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. What a denarii means in our day and times is hardly important. One was in debt 10 times more than the other is about all we need, and whether it was $50 and $500 or $50,000 and $500,000 really doesn't matter. The money lender, taking pity on them or whatever it might be, because neither of these people could pay him back, canceled both debts. And then Jesus asks the question to the host, which of these two is going to love the money lender more? Simon replies, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." I always like that, "I suppose." Leaving himself a way out, because he's pretty sure that the question is going to come back and bite him somehow if he's not careful. So he leaves himself an out, still not good enough. Jesus says, "You've judged correctly." And then goes on to apply this story to the woman who came in. But what I find more interesting for us, or at least what I'd like to talk about for us, is that story itself. And when we think of these two people who owe this much money, that's where the sermon title comes from. Who needs grace more? Or perhaps, who needs more grace? I sort of had both, and this is one I ended up with. Who needs grace more? You have two people who have something they can't accomplish. One owes 50, the other owes 500. Neither can pay it back. They're stuck. And back then, being stuck this way was considerably more problematic than it is now. I mean, now, if you have to, you can declare bankruptcy and begin again, at least with most things. It's certainly not recommended. It can cause problems down the road, but you have ways of dealing with this. At that time, if you had debts you couldn't pay, it wasn't out of the question that you would be thrown into prison and your family would be sold to pay the debt. And you would work in prison until you could pay it off yourself. A very different proposition than the embarrassment and the subsequent hit on your credit rating of declaring bankruptcy, to say the very least. So of these two, who needs grace more? And the reason why I ask is because when we have Jesus' stories, one of the things that we can do is we can place ourselves in these stories. And we get to choose who we are. And when we think of this story of someone who owes 50 and someone who owes 500, for many of us who were raised in the church, who have this long-term relationship with God, we tend to think that we don't have that much, and we place ourselves as if we are the person who owes 50. Because we look at people who have owed so much more. We look at, well, perhaps you look at people like me, or others that you know who didn't come to faith when they were young, who did a wide range of foolish or sinful things when they were younger that they had to then deal with, and we think, well, those are the people who owe 500. And there's nothing wrong with who you choose in and of itself. But where you choose to place yourself in this story or in any of Jesus' stories is going to have some impact beyond just a bit of identification with a particular person. Because if we choose that we're the ones who owe 50, it changes a whole bunch of things for us. It doesn't have to, but it can. What it can do is it can make us be kind of judgmental. We don't know about these two people in the story. Did the one who owed 50 look down on the one who owed 500 as someone who couldn't manage anything? Or was it the other way around? The one who owed 500 said, "Well, at least I went to debt for something worthwhile. unlike you, we don't know. But if we choose to put ourselves in one of these people, it's going to affect how we think about grace. It really will. Because of these two, who needed grace more? Well, in the same way that Jesus frequently asked questions that people were pretty sure were going to come back and get them, you know perfectly well that a sermon title that's a question isn't looking for just a simple answer and away we go. Because who needs grace more? Well, they both do. Because it's not a more issue. There are some things that we need to pay attention to when we think of this story. And the thing that we need to pay attention to isn't the relative amounts, it's the inability to pay. Because the inability to pay is what makes these two people exactly the same. The amounts don't make any difference from their end. If you can't pay, you can't pay. I remember once getting into a fairly extended, I was going to say conversation, but it was more of an argument over a statement that I once made. I can't even remember what the original point was, but what I told somebody, I think this was back when I was in college, a good place to get into arguments, of course. And I think I said something along the lines of, if somebody offers me a brand new car for $500 and I only have $450, that car is too expensive for me. And the person said, that's stupid, it's a great deal. I said, I didn't say it wasn't a great deal. I said, it's too expensive for me. If I don't have enough to buy what I need, it's too expensive. It doesn't matter what it is to anyone else. I don't think I ever convinced them. But that's neither here nor there. Because the issue is where your limits lie. The fact that you can't pay back 50 and I can't pay back 500 doesn't say anything about our abilities to pay things back other than that they are identical. We can't, in this particular case, do the same thing. We both need relief. We both need help. And the help is the same. The quantity forgiven is irrelevant. It really is. Which is sometimes hard for people to understand. I went through a period of time, I was telling the people at Knox this, I went through a period of time where I avoided telling my story to people. Not because I was ashamed of it, but because every so often, and you've heard my life story about as much as anybody has, maybe more than you wanted, I'm not sure. But there are people who had a life story where they came to a meaningful and authentic faith in God through Jesus when they were fairly young, and they've lived lives of success ever since. And they look at, sometimes they would say, I wish I had a story like yours. It had some dramatic bits in it. And my unfailing response was, no, you don't. I wish I had yours. You think I'm happy about that stuff? No. And so I'd go through spells where I just stopped telling it because I didn't want people to feel that they were somehow lesser in their testimony than me. And I didn't like making anybody feel that way, and I still don't really get why you would. Because when it comes right down to it, we're the same. We're all the same. Because none of us can take care of what we owe, to put it back in the context of this story. None of us is able to pay back what we owe, whether it's 50 or 500 or 1 or a billion. Because we can't do it. We are not the ones who are in a position to pay this back. So who needs grace more? All of us. We all need the same amount. And if we're not careful, when we place ourselves in stories like this, if we're not careful, we'll end up looking down on other people when we have no right to. Looking down on people's a bad idea no matter what, no matter when. It seems even worse, if you ask me, if you're doing it in the context of how sinful you were or how not sinful you were before your sins were forgiven. The fact remains, your sins are forgiven. Your debt has been canceled. And that's the good news, pure and simple. It's tempting to have some kind of assessment of each other. It's human nature. It's not anything we can do anything about, I think. But we don't have to give in to the temptation to judge ourselves in comparison to other people and then live our lives there. Because is it not possible, and we don't have any more of it in the story, but whether the one who owed more loved the person or not, is it not possible that the two of them met and said, I was forgiven my debt. Isn't that great? And the other one said exactly the same thing. Do you think the first thing they said was, well, how much were you forgiven? No, who cares? Rejoicing is rejoicing. The reception of grace is an opportunity for us to be pleased and to rejoice in and of itself. How much doesn't matter. I suppose we could say that people who have a deeper understanding of their sinful past are more grateful. But that doesn't mean that they have to be, because when it comes right down to it, how much sin does it take to separate us from God? Any. It's not that God has to work harder to forgive a lot than a little. It's that God had to send Jesus to pay the ultimate price to forgive any. And it's enough to forgive any and to forgive all. I remember Heather once shaking her head as she related the story of someone who she was, this is when we were dating, when we were in college, and she lived in residence, as did I. And someone came to her and said, I think it's just so wonderful that you can go out with Barry, because I couldn't because of his past. And she laughed and laughed. And when we think of it now, we just think, okay, who doesn't have a past? Everybody has a past. Mine was a little more objectionable in some ways than others, I suppose. But you tell me anyone who's been in a relationship with someone for a long time, and they'll tell you there are things you have to get over in their past. Whether they're trivial or big doesn't matter. That's just part of life. We get past these things because we love someone. We're in relationship with someone. We're forgiven because God loves us. On the basis of the relationship we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we have been forgiven the debt we owed that we could not pay. And once that happens, we're all exactly the same. These two people who walked away from these debts when they were forgiven were exactly the same. They were both equally debt-free. How much more free can you be than debt-free? None. Either you owe or you don't. If you don't, you're debt-free. You're exactly the same as everyone else. And that's exactly where we are. The fact that our pasts and the things we might have chosen might produce some kinds of difficulties, because sometimes it does. Some of the things we did when we were younger come back to affect us in our later life. And that's just part of life, part of living in a fallen world. But the debt that we've been forgiven, that's at zero. There's no interest to be paid because there's no debt anymore. Who needs grace more between those two? Both of them. Who needs grace the most in this room? All of us. I don't need grace any more or less than any of you. Because we all need grace. We all need to know that we've been forgiven. And the great thing is, we are. Of all the wonderful things I get to do, and there are many when it comes to leading worship services, one of my favorites is Sunday after Sunday being able to say to you that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Because what better news could there be than that? That the grace that we all need is provided for us in Jesus, in his life, in his death, and even more in his resurrection. That no matter how much grace we need, there's always enough. Nobody needs grace more than me. Nobody needs it less either. And when we reach out to God and we accept that grace, we're all at exactly the same part, exactly the same point, debt-free. Forgiven. Amen.